For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports.
Welcome back. I don't know what to do about any of it, Jason.
Just don't do it.
Push forward.
Yeah. Onward.
Malik Monk. Malik Monk. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to do about it. Sixth man of the year. He didn't win. He came in second. It's the closest the voting has ever been. I really wish that they were all public. Rasay Fox, De'Aaron's wife, mm-hmm. I thought brought up a great idea. It'll never happen, but how about everybody who votes in these things? I mean, what are you voting for? Like five categories, four, five, six categories?
It depends. Sometimes, and maybe Sam can expand on this. I know in the past, like for Kings broadcasters, they would give. They'd split it up, you know,
sure.
Grant and Jerry and G-Man would all have a couple different categories.
Gotcha. Okay. So
that's what they had done in the past.
So maybe you're voting for one or two. Maybe you're voting for all six. Yeah. Who knows?
Right.
Makes sense. And we'll talk to Sam, as you said, about this when he comes on. But she said, hey, why not just here's my votes and here's a little, 90% of them are writers anyways. Here's a little two, three sentences as to my thought process. Yeah.
So what was her suggestion to make it public?
Make it public and include an explanation. Like, okay. why did you vote?
What's your reasoning?
Right. What is your reasoning behind this? Now, look, everyone, the Kings didn't make the playoffs. Ultimately, Malik Monk winning sixth man of the year. Now, we're not going to hang up. We understand this isn't the end of the world. Okay. We're not, freaking out. But it's unfortunate for him. And obviously, the city of Sacramento, we all take a little bit of pride in that.
Yeah. Over the 39 years, they haven't won that many postseason awards.
No, they haven't. And why do I feel like I'm forgetting something? But Bobby Jackson are only sixth man?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Naz Reid won it by 10 points, 352 to 342. Bobby Portis comes in third.
Yeah, distant third.
Distant, 81 points. So 352, 342, 81.
Yeah, and the difference is what? The two difference in first place votes, which are worth five.
Naz Reid got 39 second place votes, as did Malik Monk. Naz Reid got 10 third place votes, as did Malik Monk. So 10 people, by the way, thought 20 people thought that either one of those two were third, which is weird, but whatever. But Naz Reid got 45 first place votes to Malik Monk's 43. What does that mean? That means two people.
At least two.
At least two.
Yeah, because I don't know how many were voting.
Yeah, I think if we were to assume...
If we just go off that, there's at least two.
Yes. Because if we were to assume that everyone voted Naz Reid either first, second, or third, which we have no way of knowing, but he's the first place guy, that would be, 70, 84? That would mean 94 people voted. Two people, at least, didn't vote Malik Monk first, second, or third.
Yeah, and if there are more, then that means there are more that didn't vote for Malik Monk or Naz Reid first, second, or third.
It really, really, really is so stupid. Norman Powell was fourth with 65 votes. Two first place votes. Those votes go to Malik Monk. You got a tie.
Right.
excuse me. I'm choking. Bogdan Bogdanovich, our old friend. 4 first place votes. 3 second, 11 third.
So, again, back to the, to me, definition of this is spark, what you mean, great stats off the bench. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, Bogey did that.
Yes.
That wasn't about, they had a terrible, they were below 500. So that, those four thought highly enough of his season where they didn't, it didn't matter about winning.
No. Winning didn't matter.
But yet we're kind of saying that for some on Nasr, like,
it's also, it also, you know, they say the injury hurt him a little bit. The Kings didn't make the playoffs. Well, the Kings were in the playoffs when Malik Monk got injured.
Yeah.
And
should back up his case more.
Look at how they did after he got injured. Right. Exactly. If you needed a case as to how important he was, it's not MVP. It's Sixth Man of the Year. Right. But there's a little bit of the MVP philosophy in there. We said it earlier, Jason. 15.4 points per game, 5.1 assists, first in bench points, first in bench assists. First in clutch points by a bench player. First player since Lou Williams, who, by the way, won the Sixth Man of the Year, with 1,000 or more points, 350 or more assists off the bench in a season, did not win. Mm. Did not win. Now, put on our tinfoil hats, and I don't mean that as a pejorative, because these things might be true. Is it the market? I would say this. I don't think that, I mean, Minneapolis is a bigger market, but we're not talking LA versus Sacramento. What I do think is important, and what does, if anything conspiratorial were involved here, I don't think it's a conspiracy. I think it's a fact. In New York right now, it's 10-10. In Minneapolis, it's 9-10. The East Coast bias is a real thing. And it doesn't mean that if you live on the East Coast, you're biased towards West Coast teams. It simply means that when Malik Monk is coming into the game somewhere around 7:15, 7:20, 7:30 Pacific, it's 10:30 Pacific, and these hosts and writers and stuff have to get up early the next morning like all of us do. Yet, 7:30 Minnesota time, well, that's just 8:30 in New York or Boston or Miami or Atlanta, which are your, well, I would say New York, Boston, Atlanta. Those are three massive NBA and NBA media hubs. That's what I think is a part of this.
Yeah, and I think the other part, too, is, you know, if you get to watch the games completely, now we watch all of the Kings games, so it's different for us. But the amount of times where the game would end and we go, wow, where would this team be without Malik Monk? They would not have won this game without Malik Monk.
Right.
Malik saved the day. Malik got him out of that first half lull. Malik did this, and I would say third best player this season, and he's the sixth man of the team. Where, again, apologies, I guess, to Naz Reid, but I feel like their success is partly because of him.
Yes.
But not entirely because of him. And I feel like the Kings, partly, I guess, I'm close to the saying the same thing about the two guys, but I think the year the Kings had, a lot of it goes to Malik Monk, and then to your point, at the end of the season, when they weren't winning as many games, he was out. And I think he was that important to this team.
I have heard people bring up defensive rating.
Okay.
For example, Naz Reid had a defensive rating of 107.3, Malik Monk 117. Oh my gosh, that's a 10-point difference. Yeah, you know what else factors in there? Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, and or, I mean, all the times we did that with Jamal Crawford.
Right.
Ever.
Ever. Let's also ignore the 5-plus assists off the bench and the scoring, which he outscored Naz Reid. The assists weren't close. Like, I feel bad for him. And look, on one
especially
hand,
he wanted it. Like sometimes, wanted like, it, yeah, I don't care if I get,
he
but
wanted
I think he
it
did.
So bad.
Yeah.
And on one hand, we got a break here. On one hand, I go, well, you know what though? Maybe that's unfinished business. Maybe that'll help keep him here. But here's the stark reality of the situation. On the other hand, it's, I love it there, but you got to pay a Sacramento tax to play there. Mm-hmm. You got to pay a Sacramento tax when it comes to awards. You got to pay a Sacramento tax when it comes to notoriety and all of that.
Even though it's a year removed from when they basically got Coach of the Year, Executive of the Year,
yep.
Two All-NBA guys.
Yep.
Clutch.
Yeah. Whatever. All right. I mean, it's just dumb. We'll take a break when we come back. Three for Madness brought to you by Fire Wings. Malik Monk was not the only snub this year. And we'll talk about that, which was bigger. And we'll take a look at the playoffs as well. Which O2 team has the biggest chance of coming back? We'll get to that after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Three questions, three answers. It's Three for Madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Here's question one.
All right, coming up in 15 minutes, sports business with Kelly Brothers.
Good at business.
He is good at business. And amongst other things, we'll talk about these PGA equity payouts going out there. The Clips new stadium and local kid made good. Coming up in the NFL draft. In the meantime, Three for Madness brought to you by Fire Wings. Question one.
Bigger snub, Sabonis and Fox not making the All-Star team, or Malik Monk not winning Sixth Man of the Year?
I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment here. I actually thought long and hard. I'm gonna throw the Fox snub out. I do think he was snubbed, but I don't think it's as egregious as Sabonis and as Monk. I think Sabonis is the bigger snub. I don't agree with it, but I can understand, I guess, is the best thing I can say. Naz Reid winning, although, again, can't stress enough. He shouldn't have won, in my opinion, and Monk got screwed. I cannot understand how, on a winning team, remember, again, these were made before the All-Star break here, these All-Star votes. On a winning team, the guy who leads the league in double-doubles, the guy who leads the league in triple-doubles, the guy who leads the league in rebounds, how you don't get one spot on the All-Star team, that to me is honestly one of the biggest snubs I've ever seen. So I would have to lean there.
Yeah, it's a really tough one because it all feels like snubs everywhere, obviously. Yeah. The reason I'm going Malik Monk, I guess, but as you said it lastly there, might even switch my mind. I was going at there's more choices that maybe hurt Sabonis, but also there's more spots.
Yep.
Which didn't make any sense that Sabonis didn't make it. There's only one for Sixth Man of the Year. But it just seemed like, so it's between Monk and Reed. Obviously, yeah. That's what at the end. Yeah. And I just, Malik's stats are better. I think he totally got snubbed. And sometimes you go, well, you got to kind of work up to it. Well, he should have won last year, or sure. Could have won last year.
Sure.
So he kind of worked up to it and had a better year and still didn't get the recognition. Maybe I'm caught up in the moment, but I feel like it's Malik Monk.
Should the awards be split by conference?
Yeah.
Yeah. Should I have a Sixth Man of the Year for the West and the East?
I guess you could.
I mean, it still wouldn't have mattered. Because right. Then we'd be sitting here saying, well, if Malik was in the East,
yeah,
he would have won it. Although Minnesota, I think, is eventually going to be in Eastern Conference.
I wonder, though, if like then your choices were, you know, what were the Portis people? If
yeah, it would have been. It would have been Naz Reid and Bobby Portis, probably. Right.
Well, no, I don't know. Did some of the people that picked Portis, were they leaning Malik? Like,
gotcha.
Lean Malik Monk.
That's true.
More than, I don't know.
That's very true. Question number two, please.
Question two.
In the history of the Kings in Sacramento, the postseason awards have been won by Bobby Jackson for Sixth Man, Tyreek Evans for Rookie of the Year, De'Aaron Fox for Clutch Player, Mike Brown for Coach of the Year, Monty McNair for Executive of the Year, and Jeff Petrie for Executive of the Year twice. Which king has the best chance to win the next postseason award?
All right. Zach Edey, Rookie of the Year. I just said that because we can clip it up, and then, like, if that actually were to happen, which would be crazy, like, that's an all-time called shot.
I don't think I have to worry about that.
Nah, probably not. I think the easiest I could be wrong. I think the easiest answer here would be Fox for clutch player again because he was so close this year. I'm gonna go away from that. I'm just gonna, and maybe I'm being clouded because I want it to happen. I'm gonna go Keegan Murray most improved. I could see that happening, and if that does, I will be very happy. And I think the Kings will be doing quite well. I'm going to say Keegan Murray most improved.
That's weird.
Why?
That's my exact answer.
Is it really?
Like, probably makes the most sense of Fox winning.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, like, I predicted him to do it again this year, like, to go back-to-back. So that didn't happen. But I thought, man, Fox is always going to be a fourth-quarter guy. But I think the other thing would be Keegan Murray most improved. I mean, I think that has a chance. I don't think he'll ever have an MVP. Well, not ever. But it's
Right.
With the current crop, it's going to be almost impossible. They've already won Coach of the Year. I think that'd be hard for Brown or Monty to get unless they made some incredible offseason move that launched them to a one seed with a distance on everybody. Yeah. And then we'd have no idea who they're drafting. I mean, could that be Rookie of the Year? I guess, sure.
Sure, but there's no way for us to know and base any sort of a guess on.
Defense, I'd say no. I mean, I guess the other candidate would be Malik. Another try at six man if that's what he's doing next year.
Even
if he's
that,
here.
Though, I feel like if he's here, he's just as 50-50 starting. I think Sabonis will be in the MVP conversation every year, but in the conversation as in he's not the MVP.
Yeah, but he's pretty good on that team.
He's pretty darn good. Yeah. I don't know that I'd put De'Aaron in there. Yeah, I think clutch player's probably the most likely in a sense, but okay, good. We're on the same page with Keegan.
Exactly.
Hope we're right.
Murray.
Number three.
Question three.
Which team that is down 2-0 in the NBA playoffs has the best chance to come back and win their series?
Yeah, guys, I don't know. All right, let's take a look. Who's down and up? All right. So your 2-0 teams, you've got, or 0-2, you have the Philadelphia 76ers and the New York Knicks.
Okay.
You have the Cavs, or the Magic are down 0-2 to the Cavs. The Pelicans are down 0-2 to the Thunder. The Lakers are down 0-2 to the Nuggets. The Suns are down 0-2 to the Timberwolves.
Those are the five.
Those are the five. Five of the
eight.
Just the way the Timberwolves have looked against Phoenix, I'm going to say bye-bye on that. I don't know about Orlando, but I just don't care. I want to say, Philly, I go, I could make an argument. I don't think Joel Embiid would say it the whole time. Have you seen the thing where, like, he can't blink?
Yeah, it was really weird.
And there was a doctor that, you never know, but there's these sports doctors that get online. And they were like, it's some sort of like, it looks like some sort of a nerve issue, like a legit thing, but it's not Bell's palsy because his mouth isn't drooping, but there's some blockage thing going on or whatever. It's like, God dang, dude, it's not just his knee. I mean, he is jacked.
Right.
So that's going to bring it down to two for me, two and both in the Western Conference. I really, 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 really want to say the Pelicans. Because game one was close. Actually, the Pelicans scored 92 in both games. Yesterday.
Last night was not.
No. 32 points. Are the Pelicans allowed to beat any team other than the Kings? Now, they're going back home. But Smoothie King isn't exactly the most welcoming place to them.
Thanks for nothing, Pelicans.
I want to be clear that I don't think this is going to happen, but if you told me, if you were like, Dave, one of these teams is coming back 0-2, I think I'd have to go Lakers.
They've been close every time.
They have been close every time. I mean, it was 11-point win in game one, but that game was closer than that took a big comeback for the Nuggets. And then it was a 2-point game in Denver for game two. I'd like to think LeBron and friends aren't going to have to deal with the elevation in L.A. It's going to be a very loud crowd. Now, look. If you told me to choose between the Lakers coming back and the Nuggets sweeping them, I would take the Nuggets sweeping them. I think that's more likely than the other, but that's probably the one I would land on.
Yeah, I had it between those two as well, but I am landing on the Pelicans. Reason being just the youth of the Thunder, which yesterday they set all sorts of records for the amount, all the points scored by people 25 and under, which is crazy. They dominated. Holmgren was great from the get-go. But maybe just getting home, getting out of that, those two games in OKC. I mean, a lot of times series are 2-2 after four, and it just really hasn't proven to be anything. It doesn't feel like that today, But I could see the Pelicans winning the next two and then making that a series.
Oh, I completely understand. We've got a minute. Did you see the story, the LSU baseball game, and the old man getting hit in the head with a 109-mile-an-hour home run?
With a glove. He had a glove.
He had a glove.
Didn't use it well.
They caught up with him.
Oh, no.
And have you heard this?
I have not.
This guy's a classic. This is 100% an LSU Tigers old man baseball fan.
Okay. That got hit by a baseball.
That got hit by a baseball.
A home run that was just crushed.
Just crushed. Hit him. And they caught up with him and talked to him about it.
I mean, it was on a rope. And, you know, I've been carrying this glove with me for years. And I was like, okay, now's my time. I got one coming. And holding the glove, man. What can I say? Beamed off my dome, and here we are. I've got a nice little goose egg.
Can we see it?
Oh, well, I mean, if you want to.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does it hurt?
It don't feel good. It felt like every bit of a 109-mile-an-hour fastball, home run ball, yes.
Did we get the ball afterwards? Or?
No, it skipped over the fence, but Josh Pearson, man, he's such a great guy. He came and tossed me their toss ball that they do in between innings, so he tossed it to me. I guess probably Friday I'll go get Tommy White to sign it for me and maybe kiss my Bobo.
That guy's a god.
I don't catch dingers.
Would you believe I have a similar story? I do. Not really. But I was like, I don't know, 10, 11, 12, something in that area at an A's game. I went with a friend of mine. And I will always remember, this is the first, people could look this up because this is when it was. It was Mark McGwire's first Grand Slam as a professional. That's when it was. And they're playing catch, you know, toss ball, as he says. And we were right up on the railings between first base and right field. And then when they got done, you know, we're cheering for Mark. We're, hey, Mark, throw. Hey, can I get a ball? Can I get a ball? And then it was my friend took me, his dad took me because it was my birthday. It was also on August 11th. It was my birthday. And so my friend's like, it's his birthday. Can you get a ball? Anyways, so they get done. They're walking back. And McGwire from, you know, he's on the field and I'm on the rail. From like the dirt, I don't know, 10, 15 feet away and kind of down. He goes, hey, kid. And he kind of tosses me the ball, right? Like just kind of chucks it. And I go to, you know, catch it like a football, stupid move. Yeah. Goes right in between my hands. Hits my chin directly. Bounces back. That's how hard it hit my chin. Bounces back on the field. And then like ball kid or whatever got it and like tossed it up to me. And I caught it.
Oh, you got it back.
I got it back. Okay. And it was one of those things where I couldn't show any.
Yeah.
But it hurt. It hurt so bad, and I was so embarrassed. Yeah, oh, I had a little bruise on my chin for weeks. But, like, just the idea of – I wish there was video of me just going, just completely missing. Dude. It's not a great –
Were you like that dog that can't catch
treats? Yes, the one that they throw the taco and it bounces off his face.
Go outside, nerd.
So I know I know how this guy feels, except not really. It wasn't
109. It was 109.
It was like 5 miles an hour. We'll take a break. When we come back, you go to business. Kelly Brothers, Sports Business next.
Go to business.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Joining us now on SportsSense, certified financial planner Kelly Brothers. Kelly is an advisor with CapTrust, one of the nation's largest registered investment advisors. CapTrust counts among its clients numerous pro athletes and pro sports franchises, but most importantly serves many Northern Californians through comprehensive financial planning. Here's Kelly Brothers.
All right, it's that time, Thursday. And Kelly will be off next week. So we'll have to, good luck filling those shoes, guys. In the meantime, time to talk sports business. Kelly Brothers, good morning.
Dave, good morning. How are you doing?
Well, you know.
Did Jason have a birthday this week? Is that what I heard?
What?
No, not me. I'll take one, though.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Oh, okay. I thought I heard he had a birthday. Anyway.
I'm accepting gifts, Kelly. Yeah.
Somebody, what's that?
I'm accepting gifts, if that's the case.
Yeah.
I know. I accept them year-round, too.
Yes.
Hey, you know who got a nice gift? Tiger Woods.
He did, although, I give the PGA credit. They're trying to come up. They can't just cut the checks. Liv is cutting to
right.
people. So they are giving equity to players like Tiger Woods, and they vest over time. In other words, you can cash them out over time if you wish to, but their equity, that's the key part people need to understand. These are not cash payments.
Right.
This is equity in an entity that could grow substantially. If they cut a deal with Liv, immediately all these shares become worth a lot more. But you're talking $100 million to Tiger, Rory's getting 50, Jordan Spieth 30, on down the line. The one guy I cannot find any information on what he's getting really is Scottie Scheffler.
He should get all of it.
Right.
Well, that's the point. He doesn't have that legacy yet because he's too damn young, but he's absolutely devouring the tour. What does he have? 4 firsts and a second in his last 5 events. He's like, I don't need your money. I'll just win it.
His caddy, as a matter of fact, is top 10 in winnings yes. this year, I believe.
Yeah. I know he's better than most golfers.
I have for you, by the way, Kelly, just so people understand. So Group 1, which we heard about, $750 million in aggregate equity based on career performance, last 5-year performance, and player impact program results for a total of 36. Now, for those of you wondering why Tiger Woods got so much money, even he has done almost nothing over the last 5 years except really win the Masters. But every year, he's the guy in all their measurements, which goes into player impact, top of the list. Everyone knows if Tiger's in a tournament, everybody's watching, blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, his career performance as well. Group 2, 75. So you go from 750 to spread out over 36 to 75 over 64 players based just on their last 3 years' performance, which I expect Scottie Scheffler.
Sure, he should be in that group.
Yeah, somewhere in the middle. Group 3, $30 million divided by 57 players that have just simply earned fully exempt tour cards. And then group 4, $75 million over 36 players who were, quote, instrumental to building the modern PGA Tour based on career performances, in which I would imagine Tiger Woods is double dipping. Also, you might wonder why Justin Thomas is in there based on performance. That's why as well. So, Kelly, I think that's the best explanation we've gotten.
Yeah, and it's but if you're Liv, you're thinking, well, why aren't we just walking over to Scottie Scheffler and offering him $250 million right now?
Sure.
I mean, you know, if he's going to in any way feel like disenfranchised by this, but I think Scottie's a pretty happy guy. I think he's a pretty loyal guy. He clearly, given his performance, money is not going to be the issue in his life. He needs to play what he wants to play. And, you know, for a lot of these guys, it's playing the tournaments they've always watched and the courses they've always looked at as they were growing up. And he doesn't want to go play some course in Dubai that he knows nothing about. That doesn't light his fire. So I bet you Scottie stays with the PGA, even though it would appear he may be underpaid for the time being in terms of this stuff.
Yeah, and are we getting – I mean, I know there was so much talk about the two sides maybe coming together, some sort of mutual agreement. Are we any closer to anything where these groups are together?
Oh, my – yeah, you know, you would think so. I mean, there was that report there about a month ago where they had all the key players, including Tiger's jet, at a resort. I think it was in the Bahamas.
Yep.
And they were all meeting with Piff and – you know, they were all there, but nothing came out of it. No negative word came out of it either. But clearly the deal is not done. But I think these equity grants are with some sort of idea that will happen because these grants will go up substantially. So I hope so, guys. I really a bifurcated golf world is if there's only one or two tournaments a year where you're getting the best field, that's not good for golf.
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting, too, just to put a cap on that, we should have a conversation someday about Scottie Scheffler, because he is really a very, very interesting person in the sports world. Now, without trying to go down a rabbit hole people don't want to go down, he is incredibly, his faith is incredibly important to him. Like, he is devout. He is married. He's having his first kid. He is quiet. He is smiling all the time. He seems like he doesn't have a bad bone in his body. And as we have seen throughout the years, when you're dominant in a sport, everyone's looking for the, but what is he, political? Does he have, is there an old tweet of his? Did he have an affair? Did, everyone's looking for something salacious. And so far, at least, it looks like Scottie Scheffler, there's nothing. He's almost too boring when it comes to the charisma scale, where everyone's like, I mean, he's the best in the world, and he's super nice, and he has a great smile and laugh, and I don't know.
What's wrong with him?
Yeah, what's wrong with him? And I need more of Bryson. Like, I can tell you right now, Kelly, you know this. When it comes to a charisma scale and what they call a Q rating in the advertising business, I guarantee you Bryson DeChambeau blows him out of the water, and there's no comparison in their accomplishments.
No, there's not. I found it interesting, you know, after the Masters, he talked about his faith. He talked about Christ on the cross.
Yeah.
He talked about, I mean, he says stuff that other guys just won't say, but he's, which is refreshing. The way he talked about his father.
Yeah.
I mean, that his father would lie down in front of a truck rather than have Scottie get a scratch on his arm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just from the heart. I don't know. I think he's going to last a long time, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure you're going to find any bones on that guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you're not
going to
find that.
Talking sports business here with Kelly Brothers each and every week here on Sacktown Sports at this time. So NBA playoffs going on. Clippers still playing in the crypt down there in LA, but they got the new building. Saw it a couple weeks ago down there. It looks amazing. What do you know about the new stadium and what we can expect for the Clippers' new palace?
I think they've been in the Staples, the crypt. I think they've been there 25 years now, which is hard to believe.
Wow.
It doesn't. First of all, by the way, play-in games, the overall viewership up 22% year over year. And the Kings Golden State game, over 4 million viewers, which is kind of a watermark for NBA games. That had a great viewership. But the Clip Stadium, they are going to have a student section. They're trying to attract young people, students, not just make it about the wealthy in LA. $32 a game for a season ticket in the student section. And the earlier you get there, the closer you are to the action. As a matter of fact, if you're first in line, you're down in row 3 with a $32 ticket.
Yep.
So they're going to try some new stuff in the place, and we'll see what happens. But that'll open up next, coming up here soon. And I guess, guys, I haven't read about, but I would assume when they open that building that the Fabulous Forum would be demolished. But I don't know that.
I mean,
they
you're
still
right.
play concerts at the Forum, but
I think you're right.
I think that old building. I took my daughter down to a Harry Styles concert down there, and man, I walked in there, and all I could think of was Magic and Worthy and Cooper, and you know, it's just it's amazing that little relic is still around. By the way, I wanted to mention something about tonight for the draft.
Is yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Leetu Latu, who won the Lombardi Trophy at UCLA, looks like he will be drafted tonight. He accepted his trophy at Jesuit High School, which was very nice of him because most people do it at their colleges. And I happened to be there, and the kids asked questions. And one of the questions was, hey, who do you hope to be drafted by? And he, without any prompting, he just said, I hope to be drafted by a team in a state with no income tax.
Of course.
He gets it.
And I thought, oh, man, woo!
Yeah.
I mean, that is it. And that is an issue. For young people know about it. It's an issue when the Kings are recruiting. You know, now granted, the Lakers, the Clips, the Warriors had the exact same albatross around their neck. But for those athletes, you're talking about 14.5% of their money going away when it wouldn't if they were in Texas or somewhere else. Now, I know there's different rules there, and it's based on where you play games and that sort of thing. But certainly all your endorsement income and everything else that comes with it is taxed at that level. And here you got a 22-year-old kid, not even drafted yet, thinking, I want to go somewhere where there's no state income tax. Kind of interesting.
We talked about this at length yesterday. You're off next week. Maybe we should do it when you get back. But we talked about this at length yesterday with the whole Malik Monk thing, that if you're in Texas, if you're in Florida, if you're in Nevada, a couple others, there's that it would be incredibly easy for the NBA to allow teams to supplement the difference between income tax and no income tax. So, example, if a guy's going to make $4.1 million in Dallas more than he would make in Sacramento, San Francisco, or L.A., just to allow teams to pay that $4.1 million to the player outside of the salary cap as an option, I think there's ways around it. It's an interesting conversation to have, and there's your tease for Kelly Brothers in 2 weeks when he rejoins us for Sports Business. So in the meantime, have a wonderful week, Kelly.
Hey, great to see you guys. Thanks so much. Over and out.
Over and out. Kelly Brothers, we're way late for a break. That's fine. We always have great conversations with Kelly. When we come back, we will finish up our Trey Lyles conversation as we finish his season evaluation before we get to Sam Amick of The Athletic next.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Waking you up with the best in local sports.
They just make it interesting, you know?
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sacktown Sports.
All right, we're going to have a little bit more time than we thought in the next segment. Sam's on his way, getting ready to board a plane. So a normal long segment with Sam is going to be cut in half. Usually we do a double segment. We'll just do a quick 10, 12-minute one. We'll talk about Malik Monk and the voting process and all that. So we're going to have an open segment to fill, which makes me feel a little more comfortable. We're going to do Trey Lyles here, but now we have a catch-all. Just to go over two things here real quick. Number one, this is amusing to me. As you know, I do the English soccer thing, and we're introducing two new things this year over there. This Saturday is the final home match. So we're doing a fan appreciation day. So there's like, I don't know, 20 things ranging from a trip out to Sacramento, flights, hotel, Republic game, you know, just kind of hang out, whatever, to free season tickets next year, to TVs, PlayStations, whatever. It's a drawing for, you know, it's like what we do out here, like the fan appreciation days. Right?
Right.
Okay. They have no idea what the hell this is. At all. They don't do it. They don't do this stuff. They're like, what? What is this? Are these bribes? Or
yes.
Or, yeah. Yeah. Kind of. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just, hey, thank you.
Yeah.
And then, so they're like, oh, okay, this is some weird American thing. And then the second thing is, for the very first time, we had ordered a while ago, Huddersfield Town logoed Thunder Sticks. You know, like behind the free throw, you know, everybody, right? No idea what these are at all. Like, and because they've never seen them, like, it's all over their social media. They're like, oh my, are people going to throw these at the players? Like, what is going, are these weapons? This isn't, because apparently the team they're playing at home this weekend, Birmingham, has a reputation as being one of the more aggressive fan bases in if not the most aggressive in the whole league. So security's already kind of on point. Huddersfield might be getting relegated. It's very tense. And then on top of that, you have this fan base coming in. And because these fans like have this history of beating the hell out of each other at games, again, I apply it to America. Imagine if the Warriors were playing at Golden 1 Center and they had to enter through a separate entrance, the Warrior fans, and they had their own, like, section 112 and then 212 are the only place Warrior fans can buy tickets and sit, and then they're, like, surrounded by security. That's how it happens over there. They have separate entrances, separate places to sit. So you get all this stuff going on this weekend, and now they're introducing these Thunder Sticks, of which they only see pictures, and everyone's freaking out, like,
what do they do?
And I think once they get there and hold a Thunder stick, they'll realize very quickly that if the worst thing that happens is that fans are hitting each other with Thunder sticks, I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's like
they're not so Thunder.
It's like a beach ball fight. Like, yeah. Oh, okay. Well, beats a lot of, you know, whatever. So
They'll figure a way. See, my fear wouldn't be them hitting it with something. My fear would be them filling something up with it.
Like, you mean like pouring stuff in it?
And yes.
Then, yeah, but I don't think it's just the little thing. Like, how are you going to do that? Well, they'll figure. Yeah, okay. They get a straw, and you know, I don't give them any ideas. But yeah, there's a giant pillow fight at the John Smith Stadium this weekend. I think we can all handle that. Trey Lyles, Jason Ross. What if that was my whole contribution?
That's it.
I just say his name. One more clip from Trey. Two more really quick. Talks about he and Malik Monk being the vocal leaders of the team.
I think it's easy for Malik because he's just an outgoing, charismatic guy. For me personally, I just saw it as an opportunity to, you know, hold guys accountable and hold myself accountable and kind of be a voice for a team that we really didn't have, like, a lot of outspoken guys. We have leaders that lead by example, but, you know, it's nice for some of the other guys to hear it from other players and you know, take some of that stress off of those guys that are leading in other areas. So I think it was really big and important for both of us to do that and for the team to look at us and us be able to do that for each other.
That's a guy who's grown, right? I mean, absolutely. That guy's just been around the league a little bit. Remember, he was felt like the throw-in in the trade when he came here. It's like, yeah, they're not really doing this for him. It's really about DiVincenzo, probably Josh Jackson. I don't know about Trey Lyles. And then he's the guy that gets the second contract here, and I feel like that helped open him up. He's the guy, Dave, that called the players-only meeting earlier this year, which he felt was important, the team felt was important. And that's interesting. That's kind of been a universal thought. Like, I it's not a flaw. It's just you got to be who you are. But, Keegan, Barnes, Fox, Sabonis aren't, the biggest talkers. But they go out and perform and produce, and they play all the time. But sometimes you need some people that'll communicate a little bit.
And somebody asked the other day, I don't know if it was here or online, but, hey, can a championship team be led by a guy who's not a vocal leader? It's like, well, the Nuggets. Mm-hmm. Jokic isn't exactly Mr. Yell at People.
Right.
And then I think the most famous example would be, you know, San Antonio Spurs did okay with Tim Duncan. When you look at Trey Lyles' numbers across the board, 16 less games this year, you know, because of the injury. He had played in 74 last year. And I would say he's down across the board, Jason, but you're talking 46 to 44% from the field, 7.6 to 7.2 points per game. He did go up 0.3 of a rebound. He did go up 0.3 of an assist. The real, honestly, if you're looking at his biggest drop, and of course there's not a lot of volume here, he went from 81% from the line to 70, even.
Okay.
But
how about three-point shooting?
Three-point shooting up 0.2 of a point, 36 to 38%.
Okay.
I would say it all evens out to, other than the games missed, he pretty much had the same year this year he did last year.
Yeah, and I think last year, to me, what I remember, he was important, but I thought he had a really good series against the Warriors.
Yes.
And so, like, at the end of the year, he was really important. Now the Kings didn't get to a playoff series, but I'm glad he's signed again. He's got another year. Mm-hmm. And, health will be important for him, but I feel like he needs to be a guy that continues to show that leadership and hits big shots. This team's going to want to shoot threes.
Yes.
I still think they were good at them. I don't think they were great. I think they need to be, if they want to shoot this many, they need to be great at shooting threes.
You know, we've avoided giving letter number grades to these guys because I think we could do it better talking about it. But I would say, other than the injury he couldn't control, another consistent year from Trey Lyles, a big part of the bench, not the Malik Monk part, but certainly one of the core members of the squad in a sort of Harrison Barnes way where the numbers don't really do justice the contribution that they have.
Yeah, but I would bet he would be willing to say he felt like it was down a
guarantee
little bit and that he wants more, and that's good.
Guarantee it. We'll take a break. Hey, Chris, got a couple notes here. Just clean this up on the air, but saying yesterday's podcast is actually a repeat of Tuesday's show. You aware of that yet? Or if not, I don't know. Maybe it's just them.
I'll check that out.
Yeah. So we'll take a break. Chris is always on that stuff and always very, very good about it. When we come back, Sam Amick of The Athletic. We'll talk to him next. And by next, I mean, I don't know what I'm doing here. It's not on the list. Am I doing something here?
Oh, that's
American Energy, right?
Yes.
Are we doing that here?
Yes.
Okay. Thank God. Well, I was just saying to Jason during the last break, you know what? I miss talking about my good friends over at American Energy. I haven't done that all show. And it doesn't feel like the show has really started until we talk about saving people money. Well, American Energy is here to help you do that. This is what we've been telling you for a while now, and we want you to get it done while you can by making the switch to electric before the heat gets here and save big with American Energy. Get rid of the spiking energy bills with up to $9,000 in rebates on a new ultra-high-efficiency comfort system, or as I like to call it, a UHEX. UHEC. No, it's not going to work. All right, ultra-high-efficiency comfort system. No acronym. American Energy is providing huge rebates. Huge rebates from SMUD as well. And spring specials by installing one of the many incredibly efficient air conditioning options available to you now. Get rid of the fluctuating gas bills in the winter. Switch to year-round all-electric with American Energy and let them come to your house for free and perform an in-home energy efficiency analysis. See where they can help you save for the warmer months ahead. These guys are the best. They're the absolute best. Learn more by calling 916-520-9990. That's 916-520-9990 or AmericanEnergyAir.com. American Energy, making the uncomfortable comfortable. Sam Amick of The Athletic next.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.